This past year, we bought a bed frame, and we're all excited about that, as you get when you buy a bed frame. But it was a nice bed frame. It was from one of those big furniture stores that does this all kinds of times for hundreds and thousands of people every year. And we got it. We set it up. We were all excited, and we realized as soon as we set it up that the whole middle of our bed caved right in. Immediately, right away. And so I looked to figure out what was going on and found out the bed frame comes with these little legs, maybe like 6 inches long. They're just little plastic legs, and there's some on the sides and the bottom and the top, and then right down the middle. And realized that right as soon as we set it up, the ones right down the middle broke. They were broken right from the get-go. How disappointing. So we phoned the company, the store that we bought it from. We told them the situation. To our great relief, they said, "Don't worry, we're going to fix this. In fact, we're not even going to send you the parts. We're going to send somebody with the parts, and they're going to come, and they're going to fix your bed for you, and it's going to be wonderful." So, okay, that's great. They said, "We'll call you back with an appointment as soon as we get it." So the next day, we didn't hear from them. The next day after that, we didn't hear from them. About a week after that, we still hadn't heard from them. By the third week or so, we thought, maybe our request got lost somewhere in the mix. We better call them, let them know, make sure that they're coming, set an appointment, all that kind of stuff. So we call them back. It's about 3, maybe 4 weeks in. Hey, we had called. You guys said you were coming. We haven't heard from you. Just wondering what's happening. They say, "Oh yeah, don't worry. You're on the list. We're going to get to you in about 8 weeks. I was like, 8 weeks? For these little plastic feet that go on the bottom of 6, like I can go on Amazon and I checked what Amazon could send me in faster than 8 weeks. Amazon could send me a prefabricated house in a storage container to my property before this company could get me these little tiny legs for my bed frame. I absolutely could not believe it. And then I realized Amazon is killing my patience. Amazon is killing my ability to wait for things. In fact, we are a culture that doesn't like to wait. Have you noticed this, that in almost every area of our life, there are people, companies, us as individuals, who are trying to eliminate the places that we have to wait in our lives? Do you remember as a kid waiting for Christmas, how excruciating that was? That in December, it felt like Christmas was never going to come. And now do you realize as an adult how fast December goes? The only places we have to wait drive us nuts. The parking lot of the mall, the line at the checkout. All of a sudden, just that no longer part of our lives. We're hurrying. We're on to the next thing. And it drives us nuts when we actually have to wait for things because in so many ways, we've eliminated that, right? Some of you, I said, parking lot of the mall. You're like, "Mall? Why would I go to the mall?" You do all your shopping online. Stores are open 24 hours a day, but 7 days a week so that we don't have to wait till tomorrow for anything. We can get everything today. We text and email. We don't write letters and then send it and then wait for someone to write back and then send it through the post again and come to our house. We expect immediate results, immediate replies. That everything in our life is so quick. We don't wait for TV shows to come on TV. We just go on and watch them and on demand whenever they want. And waiting has become harder and harder and harder. We don't like to wait. We eliminate those opportunities. We are in Advent season. For Christian, Advent start typically at the beginning of December up until Christmas. It's a season of waiting. And something that is actually so powerful, this opportunity for us in a very busy season and in a time where we have a lot of anticipation for what is to come as Christmas is coming, to take the powerful opportunity to press pause and to wait in our lives. And in the waiting, I'll tell you this morning, there is something so powerful. We learn and experience things that we cannot experience and learn when we're hurried, when we're rushing, when we're always doing things, when we're always arriving. There are things that we must learn and have the opportunity to learn even now in the waiting. And in the patience. And so we're coming pretty close to Christmas. We only have a few days left. But especially if you're in a spot maybe where you felt really hurried or rushed, or maybe just in your life has nothing to do with Christmas, but just in your life in general, you feel like, "I wish I was in a different spot. I wish I was further ahead. I wish there were things in my life that were resolved or solved, or I was over this, or I was no longer at this point in my life, but I was somewhere ahead." If you just feel like you're just so anxious to get to the next thing, then I hope today and maybe over the next couple days, you'll join us in waiting. And that's not always comfortable. It's usually not where we want to be, but it's a powerful place, and we need to wait before we celebrate. and I believe our celebration will be even better. Our joy gets even better when we wait well and when we calm down, pause, slow down, and live in the tension of that which is not yet realized in our lives, that which is not yet, that we're still waiting for, hope that has not been realized, expectations that have been not been met, needs or desires or wants that we have not yet experienced. But it's tough, especially if it's something significant in your life. Proverbs 13:12 says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick. A couple of quick, really easy definitions just to talk about that quick phrase as we start. Hope is a confident expectation. When you have hope in something, it's when you really know this is where it's going to end up. This is what's going to happen. I can have confidence. I can be strong. I know at least what's coming or what I should expect is coming. And even if I'm not there yet, I know I will be there. Even if I don't have this yet, I know I will get it. Even if I haven't experienced this, I know I can have that experience. Hope is a confident expectation. We all need to live in hope. When you lose hope, it hurts so much. And that's what the first part of this verse is all about. When it's deferred, deferred simply means to be drawn out. When it takes longer than we think it'll take. When results aren't immediate. When our problems aren't just resolved right away, then it makes the heart sick, weak, tired, diseased, grieved. For many of us, we might package that up and say, well, how does that feel or how does that look like? How do we experience that? We might use words like anxiety or depression or sadness. Hope, when our confident expectation gets drawn out for too long, when we don't ever see the progress, when we don't realize that hope, it makes us sick deep down. And maybe you felt that. Maybe you feel that right now. There are certain areas of in your life where you're tired and you feel weak. You feel like I'm not moving forward. I don't know if I can move forward. Or even worse, you feel grieved, depressed, anxious because your hope seems like it's never going to come through. You feel like it might be time to give up. Maybe my hope was silly. Maybe I put my hope in the wrong thing. Maybe there is no hope. And when we get to that place, when hope is deferred for long enough, our hearts get sick. Now, a week or so ago, our little family went on a walk, and we passed by maybe three or so different neighbors. One or two of them we know fairly well, but the others not so well. But we were just walking, and so they're the kind of people, they live down the street, you stop, you say hello, how's it going, that kind of thing. And just by the nature of the time of year it is, as we talked to all these people, there was the, what are you doing for Christmas? How's it going? What's going on? You got family, all that kind of stuff. And it just hit me because all three of these people basically said, you know, this is a really hard time of year for me. And some of these people, we didn't even know them, just, how's Christmas going? And they go, you know, now that I'm on this side of my marriage that is not married anymore, this Christmas is going to be really difficult. And I just want it to be over, to be honest with you. Another one, just, hey, our family, we're going through some really tough times and we're not going to be all together. And I didn't think it was a big deal, but it turns out as Christmas is coming, I'm feeling like it is a big deal that my grown kids aren't going to be with me. And that is starting to really hurt. And I'm depressed and I'm down and I don't know why. I can't get over it, but it's just killing me right now. Another one, we lost a family member just recently, and it's just going to be so hard, our first Christmas without that person in our life and just knowing that our lives are different now as a result. And I just, all three of these different people and families, that some that we know and some that we barely know, just saying, to be honest with you, this is just really, really tough time. This is a hard time because their hope is wavering, because they feel sick, because they feel anxious and worried and depressed and down. And I realize that is the reality for so many of us, that Christmas comes with so much joy and expectation and there's so much to celebrate, but there's also a time of year that brings out some of the things that are lacking in our lives. Some of the hurts and pains and struggles that we have become intensified as, you know, we just want everything to be great and perfect, maybe the way that it once was or the way that we hoped it will be. And when we realize that it's not, we feel like our hope has been deferred and it leaves us with sick hearts sometimes. And waiting in those moments and waiting through the tension, knowing that life isn't where I want it to be at this moment, can be such a hard thing because we want it to be resolved right away. We want our problems to be gone. We want to feel better. We want it all just to be great. So waiting can be excruciating. Maybe you're waiting on a job. Maybe you're waiting on meeting a special someone. Maybe you're waiting for anxiety or depression to lift. Maybe you're waiting on reconciliation, waiting for a deal to go through, waiting for the next stage of life, waiting to feel secure or happy. It's hard to wait, and many of us are not great at it. But here in Advent, as we come with great expectation for hopefully a joyous, wonderful time of celebrating, I hope that maybe today and over the next couple of days, you will do something courageous and just enter into that space of acknowledging what isn't perfect and right and great, and to stay in the tension just long enough as we wait. Because when we wait, it makes our celebration all the better. There's a psalm that talks about this. Psalm chapter 39, the psalmist says, I said to myself, I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. So when I feel threatened, when I feel like life isn't the way it should be, when people are coming against me, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to be quiet. I'm just going to take it in for a second. But as I stood there in silence, not even speaking of good things, I was just trying to be so quiet, the turmoil within me grew worse. There was this inward tension telling me that things are not the way that they should be, and it got worse and worse and worse. The more I thought about it, the hotter I got, igniting a fire of words. And this is not the most Merry Christmas message that he goes into afterwards. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is just a breath. So Merry Christmas. Life is short. You're going to die soon. Just remind me that I'm going to be gone soon. Because this is excruciating, and I'm trying to be quiet, and I'm trying to wade through it, and I'm trying to live in the tension, but it's just getting worse and worse and worse. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up our wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. And you might look at that last verse and go, oh yeah, hope in the Lord, that's good. But this is not a real happy psalm. This is not a, oh, everything's going to be okay because God is here. This is a, you know what, even if life turns out great and I have lots of money, I'm just going to die anyway. And who's going to get it? I don't know, my kids, I guess. And we're just here for a short amount of time. But none of it means that much because God has just appointed us to live not that long a time. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Sometimes it's just hard to see things getting better and why things matter and what's going to happen in life. There's a couple of things that we learn when we wait, when things are drawn out, when we're in pain, when we're hurting, when we wish God would just do away with our sorrows and make everything right again. And there are things, I think, that to a certain degree, we can't learn them, at least not to the same level, when things are just good, when everything's going right, when we have everything that we want and that we need and life is comfortable. There are things that I think God teaches us that really he can only teach us on a deep level when we're waiting, when things aren't the way that they need to be. And the first, kind of obvious, is patience. We live, like I said before, in an Amazon culture. We live where stores are open late so that we don't have to wait until tomorrow to shop, or we can just order online anytime. We don't send letters, we send email. We transfer money instantly. We expect instantaneous results, quick fixes, fast food, easy money. And we train ourselves to expect all of these things. I want results and I want them now. I want someone to respond this instant. I want everything to be okay. I want to get what I want. I want to have the lifestyle that I deserve. I want, and I want it right now. And we want to soar through life, busy and efficient, and having everything turn out the way that we want, and we want it to turn out quickly. The reality is that this way of living really lacks depth and substance, that the real things in life, the important things in life, always take time. We need to stop panicking, stop racing, slow down, stop expecting things to happen right away. In fact, maybe it's better that they don't. I think if God gave us everything that we wanted when we wanted it, we'd find out that we don't really know what we want or need at first. We would run past things like character development and become entitled and duped by what is quick rather than what is quality. We need time to build things like endurance. You can't build endurance without struggle, without having to push through, without having to endure and go through things that don't resolve themselves quickly. This is where we get strength of character. This is where we build faith, and this is where we build hope. When we remind ourselves that we don't just give up on hope when it doesn't seem like it's right around the corner, our resolution is right around the corner, but to actually acknowledge that maybe God is working slowly, and that means maybe God is working more powerfully than he could quickly, than we could quickly. maybe it's a wonderful thing to think that what I want today might not come to fruition for years and years and years, but to remind ourselves that doesn't mean that God has stopped working. It doesn't mean God is not showing up. He's always working. He's always with us. It just might look different than we expect, and it might take a lot longer than we expect. But we need to wait before we celebrate. We need to know that waiting has purpose. It's not useless or wasted time. It is the slow coming kingdom of God, which is good and beautiful and wonderful and is unfolding in the right time and in God's time, not always in our time. Not always the way that we think it'll come, and not always the timing that we think it will come in. I think we need to be reminded that discomfort can be okay so that we don't idolize comfort, that we need pain to appreciate pleasure, that we need wanting to appreciate receiving, to remind us that what it really means to be satisfied, not just to get what we want like a spoiled child who throws a temper tantrum when they don't have what they think they need. The second thing I think we learn is presence. We learn that God is often at work and is extremely present in the waiting and in the tension of not having what we want or what we need. That God will work not when or how we expect him to, but in the waiting we see that he's not aimless, he doesn't lack purpose, he's not absent or sleeping, he's working in the things that aren't always pleasant feeling for us. In fact, he's often working on us and in us, even if we don't see him working around us. And the reality is that through patience, we experience God's presence. That this is oftentimes where we see God. We think, oh, I'll really see and experience God when I get what we want, when he comes through, when he answers that prayer exactly the way that I've asked him to. But the reality is that we really often see God in the most powerful ways is in the patience, is sometimes in the suffering, in the hurt, in the pain, is in the not having, where we find that that is where we see God reveal himself in the most powerful of ways. In fact, that is the message of Christmas. Generations had passed. They were waiting and waiting and waiting. They had not received what they thought they would receive politically or religiously or economically. They were under the thumb of the Roman oppressors. They did not feel free to live the lives that they thought God had promised them. They were waiting for the Messiah, that is the anointed one. Even when you see the composition of the Bible between the Old Testament and the New Testament, before you get the stories of Jesus, there is hundreds of years missing where the people had not recorded what the prophets would said. They were longing for a time where God would once again speak to them and send them people through which he would speak hope, speak his purposes. And so for hundreds of years, hoping and realize we're such an individual kind of oriented culture where our hope is, I hope I get what I want today or tomorrow or next week. These people went beyond this, not even hoping that they would see it in their lifetime, but maybe my children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren or great-great-grandchildren, maybe they will have the hope of seeing the Messiah, the anointed one. Maybe hundreds of years from now, God will step into history once again and do something great for us. They had a much longer span of hope that they would have than many of us do, which seems so short, but that's the message of Christmas. They hoped and they hoped and they hoped and they longed. Probably oftentimes with hearts that felt sick, for their hope to be realized had been deferred for so, so long. I'm going to ask you again to do something courageous today and maybe over the next couple of days, because again, I hope that, and I think on Tuesday, as we come together, hopefully you'll be here Christmas Eve for our services. It's going to be so joyful. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be a huge celebration. But before we celebrate, we need to wait. And I'm going to encourage you today to do something courageous and let yourself just go to that place. Go to the place where you're honest and vulnerable with where you're at, with some of your disappointments, with some of the areas where you feel you're lacking, with some of your pain and struggle, with unmet desires or needs. And before we just skip past it and go, oh, it's Christmas, let's all be happy, oh, it's Christmas, everything's great, to just sit with that for a while. maybe to journal some of those things. Just be open and vulnerable between you and God, but maybe get them out on paper and just make them real and concrete. Here are some of the things that I really wish would have been out of my life at this point, where I thought I would have been further ahead, where I thought we would have had a resolution here, where I've been waiting and waiting and waiting, where I've been begging God maybe to do something. And to sit in that tension and ask God to enter into it, and not just to quickly resolve those things, but to feel it, to acknowledge it, and even to say it's okay if I need to be patient with these things, and if they're not resolved by today or tomorrow or a year from now, God, build my hope, build my trust in you, to see a greater future, to see something better, to see God showing up, even if it's not the way that you would have him to show up. Perhaps you'll spend some time praying through those things, and praying through those emotions and those struggles and offering it to God. Spending some time in quiet in a very busy and often loud season to just shut everything off, to close a door, to sit in silence and to allow God to speak into your heart in those places, in that vulnerability, into your struggles and hurts. And maybe you'll even invite somebody else into it where you'll have a conversation with someone you trust, maybe your spouse or partner, maybe a good friend that you trust or a family member that you respect, to say, I need to get some of this off my chest. To be honest, I'm struggling, and I'm struggling with what God is or isn't doing in my life, and I'm struggling with my circumstances, and I'm struggling with some of the things that are happening, and unburden yourself with God and maybe somebody else, because we need to wait before we celebrate. And then we're going to celebrate. And Christmas is such a powerful time to see that great message that God says, and I will show up. I always show up. And I'm always working. And I am always close by. What a powerful message that we have at Christmas time of Jesus. Listen to this from Isaiah chapter 9. Again, hundreds of years before Jesus is born. This is through the prophet Isaiah, speaking of a people who are in this time where they're waiting. They're waiting for God to show up. They want him to do something incredible. They need him to save them. And here's part of the prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. This will not go on forever. We have hope, and light will come, and darkness will be abolished, and death will not win, and life will come. And we believe God will step in. We believe God will do something great. We believe God is at work. We believe things will look different. We believe there's hope for a future. We believe that God is great. It will come. It will happen. God will work. They're maintaining hope. This is Isaiah just telling people, don't give up. Don't give up. I know your heart is probably sick because your hope has been deferred for too long. But hope will come. In the Christmas story, Matthew, the gospel writer, refers back and quotes that passage. Just notice how he writes about it. Now, looking back on the birth of Jesus, this fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. In the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live. Just notice the change in tense in the next verse. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. What they were waiting for, they were now celebrating. The hope deferred had now been fulfilled. Oh, it took generations and generations, but God has not given up on us. Don't give up. What was future tense, a light will shine, is now past tense, a light has shined. That God has come, that what we were waiting for is being realized. Remember, when you're in that place of waiting, that God always comes through. God always shows up. God is always working. Don't give up, even when your heart is sick, even when you're anxious and worried and depressed and sad, even when you don't see a way forward, even when you don't think it's going to happen, even when you don't think it can get better, even when you're questioning whether or not God exists or he loves you or he'll show up. A light has shined. That's the message of Christmas. That's why we can wait. That's why we don't have to resolve every tension right away. That's why we can build endurance in faith. God shows up. God always shows up. And through patience, we experience God's presence. Even if in our lives right now, we don't feel that way, we don't see it. Even if we don't see God answering our prayers or our desires in the timing we want or in the ways that we want, we can be assured. And Christmas is the time we remember that God steps in, comes close, shows up. He's always working. The second part of Proverbs 13:12 says, first, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Isn't that beautiful? What a juxtaposition. The tree of life, back in imagery of the story in Genesis chapter 3, this tree in the Garden of Eden when all things are supposed to be right and good. And just think of the experience of going to a tree and grabbing the fruit and eating and being filled and satisfied. And it tastes good and it feels good. And it gives you strength and energy to go forward and to live and to be vital and to be happy. And here is the second half, hope deferred, man, it hurts. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And Christmas is the reminder, even when your heart is sick, that God always comes. He fulfills everything that we need, and he will do so. But don't rush this Christmas. Maybe just spend some time waiting and acknowledging it. When hope is deferred, it makes us sick. But when it is fulfilled, it is a tree of life that wells up in us and brings us great joy. When I was a teenager, I remember there was a time in my life, I guess I must have been struggling with a bunch of things and feeling like I couldn't move forward, or there were certain obstacles. I just didn't know how I was going to move them or get ahead in. So I remember at some point I took a file folder and I just wrote in big letters on the outside of it. I said, God, take care of this. And it became my prayer request folder. And so when something big came up in my life, or I was struggling or worried, anxious, sad, whatever, I would take out a little post-it note or a little piece of paper. I'd scribble my request on it. I would stick it in the folder. And that was my way of saying, God, I need you to deal with this. I'm going to trust you with this. I can't do that. I need you to do that. And so I just kept filling it, putting little notes in there. And eventually I forgot about it, and I lost track of it, didn't know what happened to it. I was probably, 17, 18, 19, something like that. Years later, I was probably in my early 30s, my mom found it in the garage or something like that, the house that I lived in, and she gave it to me, said, I thought you might want to see this. And so I opened it up, and I started reading these prayer notes that I had written as a teenager. And I'm reading them, and some of them were kind of dumb. Like, they're the kind of things you worry about when you're 18, 19. You think is the biggest deal in the world and is not that big of a deal. A lot of them weren't dumb, and I don't mean they're dumb. They're the things that, you know, in your 30s you go, oh, that wasn't as big a deal. But they were a big deal back then, and some of them were really big things. And I remember putting those notes in there and thinking, there's just no way. I don't know how these things are going to get resolved. I don't know how we're going to get through this. I don't know what's going to happen here. And just, you know, then losing it. And all those years later, I open it up and I start reading them. You know, it was amazing. I started reading those notes and I was like, God showed up there. God answered that prayer. God dealt with that. Not when I wanted him to, not maybe even how I thought he was going to work, but God answered that prayer. God answered that prayer. God showed up in that area of my life. God did something incredible there. I never thought that was going to go in that direction, but thank God that he did something great there. And I'm reading all these notes thinking, God always, always shows up. And it wasn't immediate. It wasn't right when I thought he was going to. It wasn't always how I thought he was going to, but God did incredible, incredible things. Man, journaling's a cool thing. In whatever form, just write it down. And to look back years later and to say, I just didn't know how God was going to show up, but God showed up. But we wait. And we learn in the waiting. And we build our character and our faith and our trust. And we do not give up hope. Maybe you came in here today without a hope, but I hope you will not leave without a hope, because the hope is that God always comes through. And that's the hope of Christmas, that God shows up in person. So this week, something just grabbed me this week. Just this passage that I read, and I've been thinking a lot about what we're doing this week as we come to Christmas, and there's been two things we've been talking to you about all month. Our Christmas Eve services, we're hoping we just have a great opportunity. We know we have a great opportunity to reach a lot of people who aren't normally in church. We've got a great response already, and a lot of people signed up online who don't normally come here, people you've invited and are bringing, people that maybe interacted with someone out at an event where we were handing out cards or our social media and that kind of stuff, and I was thinking of my neighbors and people I've talked to and people that at Christmas time desperately need hope. And I heard this passage. I just thought it was absolutely incredible. I want to read it to you. I'm just wondering, at this time of year, where are people going to find that hope? Where are we going to find that hope? Where should we be looking? It's one thing to say, well, yeah, okay, the baby's born. I hope God shows up. But what is it that we should be looking for? Where are we going to find God in the midst of a busy world, a world that's going to celebrate Christmas, but a world that's also hurting and struggling? And this passage, it just hit me. And I'm just thinking about what we need to do as a community over these next couple days. Second thing was raising funds so that we can give a lot of money away to Food for Kids and just serve and love on some kids who don't have enough and need to be fed this year. And we're trying to raise $30,000 for Christmas outreach and our environments here and to give money to Food for Kids. And we're coming down the last stretch of it. It's a big goal, and we need a lot of help. I was just reading this. This is... you remember John the Baptist? John the Baptist, he was this weird guy out in the desert by the Jordan River, and he dressed in camel hair clothes, and he ate bugs because he was like Elijah, the prophet in the Old Testament. And people would go out to him, and then when Jesus showed up on the scene, he basically endorses Jesus. And then some time goes by in the book of Matthew, the gospel, and John gets arrested. Jesus has started his ministry, and John sends some of his disciples to find out of Jesus if he's the Messiah. Remember, they've been waiting and waiting and waiting. Things are not right. We need the anointed one of God. We need the Messiah to come and make things right. And John sends his disciples out to figure out, okay, Jesus, is this you, or should we keep waiting? Just listen to this. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing, so he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, we've been waiting for, we've been longing for, that we need, or should we keep looking for someone else? Jesus told them, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen, because when it comes to what God is doing, it's not just a philosophy, it's not just, I'll give you a few points so that you can believe in who I am. Let's just judge it by the fruit. Just go and tell him what you see is happening in my ministry, Jesus is saying. I will show up. You just tell him what you see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And tell them God blesses those who do not turn away because of me. This is not what people expected of the Messiah. Most of them expected a military, powerful Messiah. Okay, go tell them what we were expecting from the prophets, what we've been waiting for. People who are hurting, people who are in pain, people who can't see or hear, people who are guilt-stricken, people who are on the outsides of their community, and people who are poor. Just go tell John what you see, that they have been preached good news, that they're seeing and hearing, that they're cured, that they're being given enough to eat and drink and clothed. And you just go and you just ask him, what are you looking for? Because if that's what you're looking for, then the Messiah has come and he is here. He says, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about him, John the Baptist, to the crowds. What kind of man did you go out into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed swayed by every breath of the wind? Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No, people in expensive clothes live in palaces. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes, and he's more than a prophet. John is the man to whom scriptures refer when they say, look, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you. Where were you looking for God to show up? Were you going out there to look for a reed swayed in the wind? Somebody who'll just tell people whatever they want to hear? Somebody who'll say, oh, as long as I'm accepted, I'll tell you this good message or that message. No, you went out to hear from a prophet when you went to hear John the Baptist. You went out to hear someone who would preach and tell you the good news that God has for you. And you know what? Did you go out to find someone who was dressed in a fancy suit, someone who was powerful and wealthy? No, those people live in palaces. You didn't want that. You knew that's not really where you find God. You find God in a different places. You want to find where God is looking? Stop looking up and start looking down. And John the Baptist came, Jesus said, to announce me. And you want to know where God is working? Here's what you should look for. When the blind see, when people's eyes are opened up to a new spiritual reality, when they start looking at God and the world and other people in a completely different way. People who can't walk, victims in their society, standing up and being given a chance. Lepers who are cured, people who were heaped upon shame and guilt have been cleansed, forgiven, and re-enter their society. People that you can't talk to because they're so tone deaf, you can't tell them and teach them anything. People who can't hear are now hearing. People that you've written off as morally and spiritually dead being raised to life. And you know where God is working? When poor people hear good news that they're being provided for, cared for, welcomed, and loved. Where should we expect hope to be found in our world, in our community, in our city? We need to stop looking up and start looking down. And here's my question for us as we think about our Christmas Eve outreach, as we think about what we might be able to give financially to our projects and to Food for Kids, the things that we're doing. What are people going to find when they come here looking for Jesus? Are they going to find healing? Are they going to find forgiveness? Are they going to find generosity? Are they going to find inclusion? Are they going to find love? This is what our world needs, and this is what Christmas is about. For those for whom hope has been deferred, will they find a tree of life? Will they find the kind of ministry that embodies the message and practice of Jesus Christ? So I'm praying over the next few days, and I want you to join me in praying over the next few days that God would do something we cannot do without him, that he would have people who can't see open their eyes, and people who can't walk living a new life, and people who have shame and guilt forgiven, and people who can't hear spiritual truth to hear, and people who are walking in darkness to come alive. And for people like the families who rely on Food for Kids would know that we're there for them and we're going to provide for them, and that it's good news that Jesus came, because good news from Jesus is good news for people who don't have enough, because it means they get enough. Will you pray that with me? Will you participate in that? Maybe there's still someone you need to invite. Maybe there's still an amount you need to give. I invite you to do all those things. And especially, I want to invite you to pray with us that God would do more than we could do as individuals, and even more than we can do together, that God by his Spirit would empower his kingdom coming this Christmas in these things. So would you do that over the next couple of days, leading up to Christmas Eve and then after Christmas Eve, and inviting people to come back in January to find a community rooted in Jesus where they can find him? And as we close today, I invite you to stand up with me to pray. If you would, go ahead, and then we're gonna sing one more song. But let's pray together and ask that God would empower the things that he's put on our hearts to do, and that he would come this Christmas. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the hope that you've given to us. God, I want to pray for anybody here today who's struggling with that, and maybe they're struggling with where they're at in life or what's happening. God, would you fill them with a renewed hope when their heart feels sick because results or fruit has been deferred. God, would you remind them that you're always working, you're never absent, and even if it takes much longer than they would expect, you always show up. God, would you take any of us who have come in without a hope today and send us out with great hope into the world around us. God, I pray that you would empower the generosity of your people to fulfill our goal that we have to raise this money, that we'd be able to give generously, that we'd be able to provide outreach opportunities and a place for people to come to hear about you, that people who don't have enough would be fed, that the world would see that it's good news when you come because you are good news to the poor. God, would you fill this place on Tuesday, not just with people on Christmas Eve in our services, but with your Holy Spirit opening eyes and opening ears, touching hearts, releasing people from guilt and shame, welcoming them into light and into life. We pray that it would be a great step in their lives as you transform them. We pray that some would come back in January and make this part of their life as they make you part of their life, as you become their life. God, I pray for family and friends and neighbors that we've invited. Would you be working in their hearts even right now to prepare them for that, and may your Spirit touch people way deep down and bring them to yourself. God, we are so expectant in the waiting and in the disappointments. Remind us of your hope. as we continue to pray, God, your kingdom come on this earth. Fulfill what you have promised. In Jesus' name, amen.